Amazon brings the UEFA Champions League.
Unbelievable!
With Tuesday's unmissable match.
Enchantingly wonderful!
World-class players.
Salah!
What a strike!
Incredible drama.
And Haaland!
History in the making.
Rice with take two!
The UEFA Champions League. It's on Prime.
Thank you. Welcome back to The Advisor. Please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. So innovator, design strategist, futurist, transformer of brands for growth, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, or JP, president of SLD, is back, sharing insights on tenants 5 and 6 from his new book, Blink Factor. So JP was the first to coin the term Blink Factor more than 30 years ago, about how brands need to connect emotionally in the blink of an eye. And now he's sharing his secrets with all of you. So stay tuned, excited to dive into tenants 5 and 6. It is awesome to see you again.
Yes, Lisa, thank you again for the opportunity to share some of the insights coming out of the book. And we covered tenets 3 and 4 in the last session, and tenet 3 was really about storytelling and engaging with the audience. And tenet 4 was about understanding who you're talking to and creating personas that go beyond demographics, getting into the emotional feelings that people have or needs that they have and how the brands link between those. And so those are the two tenets, previous tenets we covered. So now we're going to talk about a little bit more challenging topic. One of them is about measurement. You know, how do you measure the emotional connections? We're lucky today we have so many more tools. And also, and that's tenet number 6, but tenet number 5 is really about belonging, the sense of needing to be part of a community. And so, you know, I think 15 years ago, I wrote a book called The Belonging Experience, because I realized then, and it's even more prevalent now, more important now, that with the growth of technology, that we're actually going to be more disconnected than we were before technology, before social media. And social media made it easy for us to make numerous friends, but it actually created boundaries and distances where we're not connecting on a human scale. We're not connecting in person. We're connecting digitally. And that has all kinds of repercussions. And brands are trying to come back to that sense of belonging. But belonging goes deeper than that. It says it defines the sense of community for the brand. So if you're, let's say, a fitness instructor and you have a class, you want to create a sense of belonging for that class so that they share those moments with their friends. They become brand ambassadors for the program. Or if you're a large corporation, it's really allowing those consumers to share their stories and interact with your brand. It could be unboxing the product and sharing that on social media, or it could be, if you're a fitness app, you know, participating in some live events. You know, if I look at Lululemon, they're a great example of a brand that created a belonging experience with their yoga classes, right? I mean, before the store opens, created the space within the store where people can come in and practice yoga for free. In their day activity, and leveraging the store as that place where you meet and greet. There's another great retailer, the Running Store is a chain of stores here in Toronto, and they have an app where you can track your performance, but also you can join morning runs or afternoon runs with like-minded people who share the enjoyment of jogging and staying fit. And so we're seeing more and more of these brands creating that sense of belonging, this ability to connect with other like-minded consumers who share the same values. And why that's important is we're humans. We act and connect on a human level. And if brands can allow, organizations can allow that to happen, that builds loyalty, it builds affinity, it creates a reason to engage with that brand beyond a transaction. And those are really important factors.
Yeah, I feel like When I'm in a community of people of like mind, I feel like I'm thriving. I can thrive. I can be my best self. If I'm surrounded by what I'm imagining is people on Facebook who they advertise to everybody, their whole group, all of their friends, all of these friends, right? But there's no connection between those people. So then it's like this mishmash of people that aren't all of similar minds. So that's the piece that's missing is them to connect, and then they can thrive in that space together. So yeah, that makes sense.
And it's interesting in my book, I identify it was a study that we conducted this year on loneliness. Like, so there is a pandemic going on right now, a mental illness pandemic, and it's driven by people feeling lonely. You would think that social media and the advance of technology would allow us to feel more connected. It's actually made us more separated. Creates a lot of anxiety about things that we're not having that other people have. And that's kind of isolating us. And that isolation is adding to that sense of mental illness, which is becoming a big issue. And so brands have an opportunity to help mitigate that through by creating these senses of belonging to go beyond the digital and become more physical and allowing brands to engage. And maybe it's a cooking class. If you're a supermarket chain, maybe it's a Friday night cooking class where you can go and learn how to cook new meals. Or, I think it was Crate and Barrel had cooking classes as part of their retail operations, allow people to socialize beyond, their current circle of friends and build their network and share values and stories. We were working on a major wealth retail outlet, TD Wealth. And we created these self learning wealth centers where people can come and learn how to use the online tools to make investments. And what we found out was interesting enough is that people were going there to learn how to use the technology. They're going there to meet like-minded individuals and getting investment tips and ideas and sharing conversations. They became conversation hubs that people would look forward to, on a Wednesday during their coffee break, they'd go down to this center and listen to other people's conversation about some of the stocks they were making, the investments they were making, some of the tips. And that was at a much, human scale. And so brands have the opportunity to create that sense of belonging. And that leads us to tenet number six. And tenet number six is, what gets measured gets done, what gets rewarded gets repeated. So how do you measure, emotional connections? And we're fortunate now that there are so many tools. So we pioneered with a firm called HotSpecs. They have a tool, an online tool that evaluates how you connect with brands at an emotional level. They've mapped out, I think, 1,700 different emotional factors, positive and negative. And through, 30 years of research or 27 years of research, they fine-tune that model. So they really know what is the ideal emotional sphere of a bank versus a retailer. And then they were able to map out what is the emotional sphere of that individual institution versus the ideal model. And so they can start seeing gaps. And we did this big study for a drugstore chain using that model. And we saw, wow, there's so many white spaces, emotional white spaces, we call them need states, that other drugstore chains are not fulfilling that this drugstore could fulfill. And that became the foundation for them to build an experiential model, a belonging model, a service model that answered those needs. So really understanding how people feel was a challenge in the past because we didn't have the tools, but now with, research, sentiment analysis. I was just talking to a gentleman yesterday, a journalist, about, how do you measure emotions? And now your phone measures how you feel. I mean, with AI, where we were testing a new AI avatar, you would swear you're talking to a real person. And that avatar, AI avatar, recognized the tone of your voice, what kind of individual you were, what kind of emotional state you were in, And so you can see that those technologies are going to get much more sophisticated, much more advanced. We'll be able to really understand how that customer is feeling when they're calling you on the phone or visiting your website or coming into your store. And that's going to allow a better engagement and personalization of what we're offering. And so if you know that you've got a high level of anxiety, I'm not going to give you a long sales pitch on this new running shoe or this new appliance. I know you're going to be in there. You want to resolve an issue, or you want to fulfill a quick transaction, you want to get out. But if you're in a relaxed mode, you're inquisitive in your demeanor, then that gives the salesperson the cue to relax, engage with that audience. They're giving you the time to really probe into what their needs are, what their lifestyle needs are, what their functional needs are, and how that product fits that need. And so technology, the use of AI, your phone, and now your glasses, the future, they say, will not be your mobile device. It will be what's sitting here. And the newest devices that we have an innovation center where we look at the newest device. The newest device looks no bigger, no clunkier than my glasses. But inside this has a camera. It can give you information about your habits. This link back
Wow.
to AI, it can give you hints and suggestions. It can capture how you're feeling and then advise on things that you need to do. So measurement's really important. And what we found out when we embark on these transformational programs is that companies don't measure emotions. They focus on the functional, convenience, product selection, value, all of these things. But we know that's only 20% of what's driving the purchase decision. The 80% is how you feel. How does that brand make you feel? How does it reflect a mirror of your self-image? So institutions are finally starting to wake up to the power of the emotion and putting measurements on how to track those things. From a sentiment analysis, how they view your website, to how, assisted channels, how you answer that phone call, and what's the tone of the customer, how often are those customers calling in their high degree of anxiety. Those are clear indications that there's friction points in the customer journey that the brands need to fix. So those are the exciting things that are happening that'll only get more sophisticated and allow us to really understand what is driving that emotional need of that customer.
Yeah, I'm curious, what was that pharmacy missing? What were the white spaces?
One was personalization. The other one was community, sense of
Mm.
community. Those are the two. There's a whole bunch more that I'm not at the privilege to share,
Of
but it's kind
course.
of the top ones, if you think of drugstores, they're very transactional. You're in to buy something. But when you think of your health, there's a lot of information. There's a gap between what the product does and what you understand the product to do. And having
Right.
someone to chaperone you through the process or to provide advice is really critical. And
Yeah,
lag.
I know that when I signed up for yoga, I did it because I wanted to meet people like me. So it didn't even matter where I was going. So I just asked everybody, where do you go? And then I signed up. So they created that community. And then the experience is beautiful, like the colors they use, the smells in there, like we talked about before. The experience. It's just like shopping on Amazon. Like the click, it like makes a little sound and then it kind of like jumps and then it tells you, suggests more of what you want. Like I swear Amazon's open all the time. Like they can see that I have it open all the time, right? So they're doing well. That whole thing, it just makes you feel good.
Well, an interesting insight is this, is that you can't get to an emotional relationship if you have friction points. And so, the cognitive functional needs are really important. We shouldn't ignore them because just focusing on the emotional side of the equation when there are issues with how fast you respond to your needs, is the app easy to use? Is the banking platform easy to use? Is that store easy to shop? Is the customer service in that store acceptable? Are they responsive to your need? If those issues are not solved, there's a disconnect between the consumer and that brand, and they're not going to emotionally connect. Well, if they do, it'll be on the negative side. You know, I'm irritated, I'm frustrated, and you don't want consumers to enter that realm, because once they enter there, they're never going to come back, because that's an
I was just going to
impact.
ask you, how do you win them back if that happens? Because there's bound to be hiccups. I mean, there's bound to be days. Just like when Ticketmaster was down for like an hour. I don't know if it was Taylor Swift who broke the internet, but like, how do you win people back? Or you can't. How do you do it?
Yeah, but one is that you recognize at that moment that there's a problem. You fess up to the problem. So you're being honest and authentic about the problem. And then you compensate them for solving that problem. So, you know, in the restaurant industry, the staff have been trained that if a customer has a bad experience, they didn't like the meal, whatever reason, because the customer's always right, that they've been trained to give them a meal ticket for the next meal for free. Right. So they know that, and they can escalate. They're empowered to a certain level to be able to respond to these. You know, listen, we'll take this off we'll take this off the price. You know, you're not going to get billed for this. If you didn't like it, we're not going to charge you for that part of the meal. Two, this is a really bad experience. Please come back. Here's a free meal voucher. Please come back. We apologize. We're going to make it right for you. So the sense of admitting there's an issue, being honest about it, and having an immediate answer is really important. And then not delegating that answer to somebody else. In other words, sorry, I can't help you. I'll have to get my manager to come and talk to you.
Oh, I hate that.
Or I'm going to have to move you to, you know, that's not part of my department. So I'm going to have to move you over here to somebody else. And by the way, you're going to be on hold for another 20 minutes, but don't get upset about it. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, you know? So being immediate and admitting to the problem, I think, is really important.
Yeah, cancels it out immediately. I
Yeah.
remember getting a grilled cheese sandwich and I took a bite out of it and there was a piece of hair in it. And then
Oh.
the lady's like, I'll bring you another one. And I said, no thanks. Like, I can't even imagine biting into another sandwich right now. I never went back to that restaurant, I'll tell you that.
Well, there you go. So what they have done is they've lost the trust. So once you lose a trust in a customer, they're never going to come back. So there are ladders of connection between the emotional connections between a brand and the consumer. And some of these, once they're lost, like once you lose trust, it's almost impossible to have that customer come back. They're
Yeah.
lost forever. Sad.
Wow. What an intricate system.
Yeah. But, you know, understanding how you make someone feel and be recognized for their feelings, either positive or negative, is the first way of solving and building loyalty, right? If somebody's
Yeah.
coming into the store and they're rushed, they've got two children in tow, and they're pressed for time, recognizing that and then building a response to that says, we get you. We care. We have empathy for your needs. We're going to help you. That goes a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Think Blank, tell us more about it. When's it coming out? It's out already. Where can people buy it?
They can buy it at Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Indigo, Barnes and Noble. It's available in a Kindle version, soft copy, hard copy. And in January, it'll be an audiobook. But right now, it's in those three formats. Easy to get, reasonably priced. It's a fun read. The book is written that if you're someone who hates reading, you know, you can read the introduction section because it summarizes what they're going to read. And then we summarize what they've read at the back of each section. So they can, it's a quick read if you just want to get the highlights. Or if you want to go deep, there's a lot of details, statistics, information, and strategies of how you apply that thinking to your business.
Beautiful. Well, we can't give away too much, so I'm going to stop you there. Next episode, we're going to dive into seven, which I'm excited about. Do you have any last minute thoughts to leave the audience with on these tenets?
Yeah, you know, think, put yourself in your customer's shoes. Think from an emotional standpoint, how you feel, how they would feel about whatever situation. Project yourself into their shoes, I think is the first thing. Because if you can project yourself in their shoes, you're going to have empathy for their needs. And you're going to understand how emotions play an important role in building that relationship. You know, moving from transaction to relationship, it's so hard when we're pressed for time and we've got priorities and, the company has goals, that are very much sales-driven goals. And you're trying to build a relationship with that customer. So understanding those dynamics is really important. But understanding that customers only remember how you made them feel.
Beautiful. Well, I look forward to next episode. And thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. I'm looking forward to the next session.
Beautiful. And to our audience, go get Think Blink so that you don't have to think. And you're going to get all the customers in the world. Until next time, take care, everyone. Happy shopping. Turn Amazon off.